Hello, and welcome to the Craft Brewed Music Podcast, music interviews for serious listeners. You may have heard of our curated music discovery app. The podcast lets us dig deeper and get to know the creators of that music, as well as others that will broaden your horizons. I'm Brian Horner, founder and curator of Craft Brewed Music, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Aaron Stamen, a Craft Brewed Music artist.
Arguing on the on-ramp of Interstate 90 West, as the engine strained to recollect 50 and I struggled to keep my head. For the last month I've been scratching your name with my fingernail in the frost of the window pane in the attic of your friends. I've been staying since you broke it off. That's what it really was. You swept in like a chinook wind, blowing warm through the woods. Pulse of June in the middle of the winter can do more harm than good. You thought out my resistance and I let you back in. You were unseasonably warm.
Guest this week is Isaac Opatz. I saw a characterization of his music that called it hard to describe but easy to listen to, and he and his band have dubbed it Dirt Wave. He's also called himself a compulsive metaforager and inveterate wordplay boy. And his story is as unexpected as his music. He recently wrote that less than a week after wrapping up a fun, sloppy, atypically successful tour with my band in August, I walked into my first class in the University of Montana's graduate journalism program, reinterring myself in a kind of accountability I'd avoided for almost 10 years. Thanks for being here, Isaac.
Thanks for having me.
We talk to a lot of artists, and although their music is always different, and there's certainly differences in their approaches, but it involves some touring and some teaching, but generally there's kind of a template that fits a lot of it. Your story was different, though. You've been spending summers building trails in Glacier National Park, and you're a custom leather worker. Is there a thread that goes through all of these pursuits?
Quitting is kind of that's like the pessimistic way is that they're all things that I started and didn't want to go kind of full on into, but really it's felt that way, but it's also kind of now I'm realizing it's sort of approaching a balance that feels really good. So I just, after kind of trying to do the music thing full time, I realized that it wasn't going to be for me, in part because I kind of got into touring sort of later in life. I was maybe just in my late 20s and early 30s, but it was already felt like I was too old to really like love the night after night sure. aspect of it. And I'm someone who likes a lot of time to myself, and I like to stay busy doing my projects, and I like to get exercise every day. So that all that kind of led me to just realize that music was going to need to be something I did part-time occasionally. But I also really wanted to stay involved. I wanted it to always be a part of my life. And I'm really grateful that I get to do it kind of part-time and also still go out on the road when I want to. And I've got people to record with when it's time to do that. So it's just kind of trying to find the balance, and it's meant maybe a little bit that it's gone a little bit slower as far as getting the music out there to more people, but lifestyle wise, it's totally been worth it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like for a lot of people who are pursuing that, music is the thing, you know, going, mm-hmm. I need to play music, I need to write music, music, music. And it seems like there's been a a commonality, a common thread of storytelling, whether it's journalism or you covering songs and telling other people's stories or writing and singing your own stories. It seems like that's a real passion as well.
Yeah. I've always read a lot. I've always written, you know, I wrote poems before I wrote songs, and I like writing, and I went to school as an undergrad for creative writing, and that was something I kind of realized there, that I wasn't able to make stories out of just whole cloth, just invent things out of nothing. But I still really liked writing, and I liked sculpting a story out of like material that was already there. And so that was songwriting, was that, because I was able to use my own experiences, characters, and figure out how to kind of fit those into a story shape. And then journalism, it took me a while to realize this, but it's another format where I can kind of, the material is already there, and I just need to go in, figure out what I need, and figure out how to organize it into the shape of a story. So that's kind of been the most recent realization of how I can keep telling stories without having to write a novel and just invent everything, because that just doesn't work for me.
It seems like the the life you've lived in the last decade and the experiences leading up to the songs on Extra Medium, your current album, is kind of a series of tales about a more itinerant, unsettled lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And now that you've kind of settled into being back to school in Missoula, do you feel you need to kind of retool your creative space into something that's a bit more settled?
Like, as far as what I want to write about?
Well, to give an example, the tunes in Extra Medium, there's a lot of allusions to the road and to the end of a long time at the helm of the truck. Or, mm-hmm. you know, crossing large distances to realize that a relationship is not what you realized it was. And it seems like that's a space that you inhabit as a character in your own music.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you foresee a change in your in the things that inspire your music.
Yeah. I would have to. Yeah, it's going to have to be, because I partly because of the pandemic and partly because of college. And partly because of just getting too old to drive around and sleep in the back of my truck all the time. That's not quite as much of a thing. It was 10 years of material, because I, no matter how good something felt, it was, or how much I liked somebody, it was always going to come to an end. And I still have some sort of, I think that's still a part of me, maybe, that fear of commitment or need to keep moving, call it what you will. But I don't know yet. I guess it's been a couple of years where I've been pretty planted here in Missoula. And yeah, I think I do need to maybe find a different approach. But I was also really sick of writing those songs, or not sick of it, but it felt like I covered the ground pretty good. And after a while, you're kind of, you're complaining about something that's totally self-inflicted. So you could only do that for, well, two albums, hopefully.
I've found.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You deal with that very theme in a song called Shampoo, where, you know, using somebody else's shampoo and acknowledging that you can't get to the end of a bottle of your own shampoo in your own space becomes a metaphor for not being able to complete things or commit to a thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel in your space now where you can actually complete a bottle of shampoo and throw it out?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, has that happened?
Thing. It has. Yeah. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah, and there's a little bit in that song too about just feeling guilty for relying on the kindness of strangers. Because yeah, because I chose to live a certain way. But looking back at it now, I mean, I'm really grateful. I think being somebody who's a little more planted, I'm really grateful for people who are willing to drive around and play music in different towns. It's not it's that it feels selfish when you're doing it, and it feels selfless when you get to be somebody in a town and or you get to live in one place and, you know, musicians come to you. So it's nice to get the other side of it too.
I've gotten good in the last few years of surreptitiously uncapping shampoo in the shower so my hosts don't know I didn't bring my own. Probably wouldn't be a problem, but I'm just so tired of asking. They always say make myself at home. Home's just where I leave my stuff, where the mail goes and my plants dry. Home's been sleeping with my ankles dangling over the end of someone else's car. Home's where I've got a full shampoo and no time to use it. I can't remember the last time I finished a bottle and threw it out. I can't remember the last time I got to the bottom of anything, squeezed the sides and rolled up the tube, tried to get the last drop out. I'm always leaving in the middle. It's easier to think it probably never would have worked out. Easier to pine for something out of reach than someone who could let me down.
A lot of your musical choices are really interesting, whether that's kind of unexpected notes in your finger picking or a sudden, you know, trombone line that bursts out that I thought it was amazing to read that's also you playing trombone.
After many takes. Yeah.
there's a wonderfully kind of quirky nature to the musical content of your songs. Has that always been there? Is that something you're consciously cultivating, or is that just kind of how it comes out?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. Early on, I feel like I had a couple of I had a guitar teacher who really kind of got me interested in just, I don't know, he was somebody who didn't teach me that I needed to like stay within the scale and that there was a lot of value to sort of stepping on some sort of discordant notes and then bringing it back. I think it was something that I learned from my love of Wilco too, just that their kind of grasp of like, obviously Jeff Tweedy can write a sweet melodic song, but knowing that he can do that and then feeling him like take you into someplace that's a little bit darker or there's more tension, and just knowing that you're kind of in the hands of somebody who can always bring it back to something sweet and that resolves. I really like that feeling. I don't know, it makes the sweet spots sweeter. And so I think I'm always also writing country. It's like, I always think, even though my stuff doesn't really sound like country anymore, I always still think that I'm writing country songs.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that's how you think of it, because it's really a true fusion to my ear.
Yeah, I guess when I'm writing the lyrics, that kind of guides me more. Just the, I don't know what it is about it. The confessional style, that's sort of, there's something that's like so raw about country, but it's also kind of protected by the wordplay and the humor, that it's doesn't feel too indulgent, I guess, like other sort of super raw songwritery kind of songs. So I like doing that, but then also it's so easy to do the 1-4-5 kind of country song and then step outside of it just a little bit. And because you're that format is so kind of cliched that anything that steps outside of it or steps between the notes, I feel like is really arresting and interesting.
Yeah, when I was listening to your music and kind of doing the exercise of trying to fit it into a genre, which is never a worthwhile pursuit, listening to the guitar and how it kind of melds between major and minor, and these guitar lines that kind of start off sweet and then go awry and become become more weird and sinister. Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of Wilco, but the delivery of the vocals and the content, it kind of has this, you know, laconic delivery that I associate with country music. And then the balladeering to me is very rooted in that style. And so no matter what the accoutrements and the defying of listener expectations in the musical settings, I feel like at heart, they still feel like country tunes to me.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, laconic balladeering, that might be a new descriptor I might have to use. It's good.
Aaron gave, in our last interview, he gave the band a new slogan as well. It's like his new thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's like a value add for our guests. Come on the show and we'll rebrand you.
Yeah, totally.
So you referred to Mariachi Static, your first full-length album, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then your next album was largely covers, right?
Yeah.
And this upcoming album about to come out is more all original, mostly original?
Yeah. Yep, all original.
So what was the attraction? You know, you're clearly a good songwriter, good at articulating and expressing what you want to in that setting. What was the attraction to recording covers?
Well, part of it was... just the timing was, it was mid-pandemic, and I was in Montana, and the band was, or Malachi and Dylan were in LA, and it felt like there was less at stake, I guess, to try to do an album remotely. So we were just sending tracks through email, and I wasn't as, they had a lot of latitude to kind of make things sound a certain way, and I, because they were covers, and I didn't need to or get to be too controlling about how they came back. And so I was just really, it worked well to do it with that batch of songs because it was just made it that much more fun and relaxing. And the other part of it was kind of a since I'd kind of developed this rapport with Malachi and Dylan, where I knew we could, we kind of had our own sound and approach to things. And I just thought it would be really interesting to take some of these country songs, especially the kind of pop country, the newer ones where
right.
The production is really affected and shiny, to just take those songs and do our thing to them, which I hoped would kind of reveal some of the humanity that was, you know, which it sounds kind of ridiculous to say, but the guy who wrote the songs in Nashville on Music Row was some scrawny, you know, kid who feels a lot. And then they get kind of packaged in this muscly, slick production, and but they're still great songs, and I think they're really worthwhile songs for songwriters to respect. It's not like I like Townes Van Zandt and Gus, you know, everybody, Guy Clark and those guys, but I think there's, I don't know, it's almost like a reverse. These commercials, country guys have gotten plenty of attention. They don't need anything anymore from indie country people like me, but I still thought it was fun to kind of take these songs that I really respect as songs and dress them up in ways that might get a little more attention or just kind of drop people's defenses a little bit.
Yeah, it certainly worked on, I thought it was really effective and really, you made them your own. It was kind of funny though. I was playing it in the car and my Drunk on a Plane was on, which I didn't, you know, some of these I wasn't familiar with. I don't listen to country radio these days. Yeah. And my daughter was like, I've heard that song on the radio before. Someone else singing it. I was like, oh, I didn't know he was like a hit songwriter guy.
Yeah.
Come to find out, it's just, you know, like you said, the inverse of that. Yeah. So, but it was very effective. You made them your own and so that they flowed very seamlessly with your other material.
Well, yeah, that was, Malachi and Dylan did the lion's share of the production and they're playing drums, bass, lead guitar, and like background vocals. So it's really kind of their album. I would learn the song and then I would tweak it, change some of the chords and a little bit of the melody, and then send it out and it would come back fully fleshed and really interesting. So it was fun.
I took 2 weeks vacation for the honeymoon. A couple tickets all inclusive down in Cancun. Couldn't get my money back, so I'm in seat 7A. I'm getting drunk on a plane. I bet the fella on the aisle thought I was crazy, cause I taped your picture to the seat back right beside me. Now I've got empty mini bottles filling both our trays. I'm getting drunk on a plane. Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot, it's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G6 stewardess or something sexy. Leaning pouring coke and whiskey, told her about my condition. Got a little my flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds.
Your songs are very idiosyncratic in the lyrics and in the music. And it's hard to imagine a top 40 country person trying to render one. Has that ever been something you've tried to do? Ever been something that you dabbled in to actually write something that was more of a generalizable country tune and not something that requires you as a character?
Yeah, I have never tried, or I've never gotten past like thinking about it. It's crossed my mind, especially living in Nashville, realizing that people do that. But no, it's always felt like I'm pretty limited to writing about my own experiences in that way. And yeah, that it doesn't lend itself to being covered. I've thought of like Arms Length Away is a song on Mariachi Static that I feel like there's a possibility there. It's more generic, and it could be, I feel like, covered. But yeah, besides that, they're pretty specific.
So I think the listener is better for it. And, you know, like our show and the whole craft brewed music thing is all about, uncovering these really authentic artistic moments and products. And, I think people talk a lot about how pop country radio has really suffered for that kind of effort of trying to write for the hit, you know, instead of write for the expression.
Yeah, totally. But you also think of, you know, John Prine songs that anybody can sing, and they're also so weird and so him, but they have something in them that is universal. So it's doable, and
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brian and I were talking earlier about Lyle Lovett and kind of the unique moment in time that was, that somebody took a chance on him on a country label in Nashville.
Totally.
And that was able to blossom into a career. I don't think that could happen today.
I wonder. Yeah, he's such a weirdo. And yeah, the fact that he kind of straddled that commercial line and was still sort of an art rock dude at the same time, like, yeah, I wonder, I don't know how that happened. Maybe just pure charisma, but I can't think of anybody today who would compare.
Do you, in reading about your experiences, working for the Park Service and being on the road, it sounds like that kind of solitude and being out in nature and sleeping in the back of the truck is kind of where a lot of the penning of tunes happens. Do you find that's like an essential space for you to be in for creating?
Sometimes. And sometimes I think the reason it ends up in songs is because it's nostalgic, and maybe I'm not actually there, but I'm wishing I was there. So it's a place that is important in that way. When it actually comes down to like camping and trying to write, usually I'm too cold or I'm too tired or hungry or whatever. And it sounds romantic, but doesn't actually work out that well. Right. There've been a few times when it's worked out. But yeah, I think the bulk of it is kind of, daydreaming about those trips and probably writing from home, about those experiences.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the writing I do is kind of mythologizing experiences, which at the time were kind of unpleasant.
Totally.
But in hindsight, were terrific fodder for narrative.
Yeah. Yep.
With the new album about to come out, are there plans to tour behind it, to do some gigs in the summer, whenever your schedule would allow it? How does that work going forward?
It's been, I'm made some time in kind of the end of the summer. So we're going to do a Midwest tour in July and August, and then we're going to kind of go right into a Montana, Colorado, California, Pacific Northwest tour kind of mid to end of August. So we're going to cram in about 4 weeks or almost 5 weeks at the end of the summer.
Nice. And I see you're planning two different colors of vinyl and the whole nine on it, right?
Yeah. It's been the vinyl thing. I'm sure you've heard plenty of other artists.
They're way backed up.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. And just excited to, we've been playing these songs because we couldn't wait for a couple of years, but we only really got one tour in last year and I've been playing them solo, but this summer will be really their time to shine. So looking forward to it.
And you've been immersed in your academic program there at University of Montana. Have you been writing more songs in parallel, or have you been concentrating on the studies and on journalism?
I've been trying, but I've been really just scrunched for time, which is kind of, prior to this program, I had oodles of time, and like over the pandemic, I think a lot of people also realized that like gratuitous amounts of free time doesn't necessarily lead to creativity. And so I have found that I've been like, scratching lyrics into the margins and more grateful to pick up the guitar when I have time to do it. But so far it's definitely been I've been very busy with school, and it's all I can do to squeeze out an Instagram post every once in a while. So I'm definitely not writing about school, if that's what you're worried about.
Well, no, I was actually curious, with this kind of change in perspective, whether it's kind of shifting from a first person kind of songwriting into something that's more descriptive of another person's experience as you have more of those journalistic experiences and explorations of other people's lives and pursuits.
Yeah, that is kind of a hope that I can sort of shift the perspective out of my own navel and tell other people's stories, but I haven't got there yet. It's still, I like to be sure that this sounds kind of highfalutin and I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I like to write from my own experience because I know it's true. And I obviously, your feelings are legitimate. And it's also like a way to just kind of dig down and realize, get through some of your own kind of bullshit and realize what is actually going on. And so I don't know if I'll get away from that completely. But I would like to experiment with telling stories through other people's eyes and hopefully getting better. Like, I mean, I've been doing a ton of interviews and talking to people I wouldn't normally talk to through this program. And so I have to imagine that that is helping. But so far, I haven't finished any songs that have come from that place.
Extra medium in your liner notes, the content of the album is a celebration of the everyday and the unexpected things that are dramatic and interesting in life. It seems to me that with your current pursuits in journalism, this is a great sensibility to have going into it.
Yeah, those are definitely the kind of stories I'm attracted to reading, and that I'd like to write is, kind of the everyday, but taking a really magnified look at them and trying to look at everyday things with fresh eyes, I guess. That's what songwriting has been to me, is like a way to look at my own life, stuff that goes unconsidered. And in the process of sitting down and devoting time to writing about them, they kind of they come to life in a way that you don't really realize when you're just living through things. That's I don't know exactly where I'm going in journalism or what I want to do, but writing profiles, writing about people, is something that definitely interests me and is, I think, connected to that.
Well, the bio info and the track by track, some of the written materials that we got in accompanying your album were fun to read just for the writing, you know, just for your writing. So, I'm looking forward to seeing some of your written work, in addition to hearing more music. And I'm excited about this album coming out. I'm excited personally to buy the vinyl and, you know, we appreciate you making the time to talk about it with us.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for, it sounds like you've dived deep and, you guys are really seem well-spoken and, smart. So,
we fooled you.
That's an illusion we've been trying to cultivate for some time now. Thank you for falling for it. I also sincerely, you know, wish you great fortunes in your romantic life. Although if you don't, these are some of the best breakup songs I've ever listened to.
Yeah, thanks.
I watched your face in the rearview mirror. We drove before it's long. For any skirmish of misgiving or recognition, I tell you were putting me on. I tell you were putting me, but you betrayed nothing. Your face was untroubled as a fresh dirt over a grave. Smiling at the window, singing to yourself. You covered up what we didn't say. You covered up what we didn't say. You're giving me the wild eye of George Bailey, heebie-jeebie.
Thank you for listening. Craft Brewed Music, both the podcast and the music discovery app, has the mission of promoting this music and these artists. We can't do that without ears on the music. So if you like what you've heard here, we're going to ask you two small favors. First, tell someone about the podcast. Second, go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Craft Brewed Music app, and try a free 2-week trial of the curated streaming service. For more information, visit us at craftbrewedmusic.com. Thanks again, and see you next time.